coy. Better have about me, boy. Okay, Leroy and Tobin. Hold to the show, man. Stairs on the sauce with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a liar, better more than. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side floor. Goose like a large, so many more. 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever and cute as can be. You can watch on YouTube review for free. This one time for the Twitch. This one time for the text. This one time for the phone line. Whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Morning, everybody. Hey, Leroy.
Morning.
How you doing, sir?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Got some. Let me tell you something. Y'all always hear me talk about bad customer service.
Yes, sir.
I dropped my car off this morning.
Oh.
To get serviced.
Yeah.
I have my car.
Oh. Now that's service.
That is what?
What was standard oil change and stuff like that?
Oil change, tire rotation.
Yeah.
Had that nail. You had
a nail.
I had a nail on my tire for like 2 months, but it wasn't losing air.
I'm like,
all right, well, I ain't going to waste no time.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll wait till I get an oil change.
Yep.
And I said, hey, I got a nail in my right passenger tire. He said, well, we'll see, if we can patch it. I'm like, hold on. I said, I've been driving around with it for 2 months and have never had to add air.
Yeah.
You're telling me that you could pull that nail out and I may need a new tire?
Go ahead and keep that nail in.
And then he called and said, good news. I'm like, that's not good news for me. Nothing was wrong with my tire.
Yeah. That's good.
But yeah, I wasn't expecting it. Because I told him I'd drop it off, I'll pick it up later.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I usually don't have time to wait.
No, that makes sense. The other day I had some service on my car at Toyota in Hollywood, headquarter Toyota or whatever. And I put in my car by 8 a.m. They called me an Uber to my home. And then I went to work, came back, and they called me an Uber back. I went, okay. All right. I'll take that.
Yeah. There's good customers. See what people think that when I get mad at customer service and they say, well, that's the way service is now. That's not true.
Yeah.
There's people busting their hump to make sure you get they do a good job. And I appreciate that. It's the lazy people.
Yeah.
That think you're going to tip anyway, or it is what it is, people that really get me.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that kind of sets the standard where you go somewhere. I do this. I'm guilty of doing this sometimes, and I've kind of changed my way. But I'll tip before I even get the service. And then they give me bad service. The tip's already gone, and they're validated.
I'm not, no. Well, see?
I've learned.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
One would think that if you give a good tip before the service, that the service would be good.
Yep.
But that's not the way America works.
Nope.
The way America works is I got the money. There's no need to put any extra effort into it.
Yeah, they already got what they want.
Right. Which makes me appreciate athletes even more so.
Yeah.
Guys that get signing bonuses and guaranteed contracts and still go out there and bust their hump to play. You already set for life.
Yep.
What drives you? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To still go out there and put that work in the offseason and get it done. That's an underappreciated aspect of, you know, getting paid all that money. That's why I have a hard time with the fat cat syndrome thing. Like, just because playing poorly don't mean you ain't working your tail off to try to be good.
No, true. Leroy, let's go ahead and get to some headlines. These headlines are brought to you by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford.
We know trucks.
How much of the MLB All-Star game did you catch yesterday?
Shohei Ohtani.
Correct. Bomb. Bro, he hit a bomb.
He hit a bomb. And then
yeah.
Who's the dude that came in and faced him the second time that was throwing 103?
man.
Closer. He was, look.
His name now.
He threw a ball in the dirt.
Yeah.
It said 104. I'm like, get out of here. And then, yeah. Wait, you know it's bad when your changeup is 90.
Yeah. I mean, he's an all-star for a reason, I guess.
Yeah, but originally they say he was supposed to be a starter. And he started having elbow problems and moved to a closer. And now, wow. Heat.
Yeah. I think it was Paul Skeens or Skennies. I don't even know how to pronounce it. SK.
No, but yes. Paul Skeens isn't Skeens the starter for the Pirates?
Yeah, he was him.
But that's not the guy I'm talking about.
That's not you're talking about? Okay, because it says that he joined Justin Verlander and Chris Sale as only starting pitchers to throw multiple 100-mile-per-hour pitches in the All-Star game.
Yeah, but that he started the game.
Gotcha.
I'm not talking about
the closers.
There was another guy that came in.
Yeah.
For, I want to say the National League. He was, he was throwing some heat. But I didn't watch very much of it. I was going back and forth, and then I saw Shohei Ohtani hit that bomb.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that dude is just good.
He's good.
Think about this. And you're only getting half a Shohei right now.
Yep. That's the craziest part about it. This is him recovering from an injury.
This is him recovering from injury.
Yeah. I think he's probably leading the league in home runs, if I'm not mistaken.
I think 28 is leading the league.
Oh, yeah. I got right here. It says Judge. Judge is leading with 34. Shohei has 29. At second.
29, okay.
But still,
so that might have just been the leader with in the home run derby, not the leader in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it still is impressive.
It's ridiculous.
Man.
And yeah, folks, guess what? He's a pitcher.
Crazy. Absolutely.
Just
crazy.
Think about that. You got paid, what, $600 million?
Yeah. And he did some weird stuff with his contract too.
Yeah, he get paid $1 for the next 2 years.
Something crazy.
And then you know what it is? Mm. Let me tell you what kind of contract that is. That is the Stanton contract.
Ah. But do you think
the Marlins say we paid $300 million for Giancarlo Stanton?
Yeah.
But they were only paying him like $1 million, $1 million, $1 million. Then they traded him, and now they're paying $30 million, $40 million. Right.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. In other news, we have a weird start time today for Heat Summer League. It's Heat versus Mavericks. Start time today, Leroy, 3 p.m.
So it's noon there, right?
Yeah, it'll be noon in Vegas, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can watch that on ESPN2. That'll be Heat versus Mavericks. Mavericks 0-2 in the Las Vegas Summer League thus far. The Heat 2-0. Is there a championship? I believe that. I feel like I remember.
There's a Summer League championship.
There's like a trophy or something. I feel like I remember someone holding it up. Interesting to see if Jaime Jaquez Jr. will still play
I thought he was only playing two games.
Me too. So, you know, if he plays, that'll be something we weren't expecting.
I mean, listen, he just spent 75 games playing against the NBA's best.
Yeah, absolutely.
He should be scoring 29 and 23 against, you know, guys trying to find their way.
Yeah. We'll see. I guess we'll find out just after our show, 3 p.m. tip-off. Again, you can find that on ESPN2. In other news, Leroy, I believe yesterday there were some small moves made by the Miami Dolphins. Bunch of players I don't even really know. We've placed safety Mark Perry on the active non-football injury list and wide receiver Taj Washington on the active physically unable to perform list.
PUP.
PUP.
Want me to tell you why you do that?
I would love to know.
If you have 80 guys.
Yeah.
And you take two guys mm-hmm. and put them on one of those lists, you can bring two more guys in.
Oh. Okay. So essentially it just frees up
a roster. So they move. They move like a lot of people around so that they can bring more guys in. So like when camp starts, you may have 90, 95 guys in the building, but gotcha. Only 80 are active, and a bunch of them are have designations where they're allowed to work out and practice, but they're not on the active roster.
Hmm.
You see what I mean? So yeah. There's a lot of that going on, especially with young guys. Or, so say they'll do something like this. If you know for a fact that either Chubb or Jalen Phillips aren't going to be ready for 6 weeks, you can put them on the PUP.
Yeah.
They can't come back until week six. But they weren't going to come back anyway. And then you can bring two more guys up on the active roster. You see what I mean? Then when those guys come back, and they get put on the active roster, then you start seeing stuff like so-and-so was cut or so-and-so, right? And they move things around that way. Yeah. So it's very normal. It's happening with every team. They're just trying to find ways to either get another look at some guys or, you know, give guys an opportunity to heal, because what's the point if he's not practicing anyway?
Yeah.
If he's not practicing running group drills, then being on the PUP doesn't really do anything for you. And I think you have to decide, a guy can be on the PUP now, but I think there's a cutoff before the first game where he has to be on the active roster and not PUP. If you're on PUP when the season starts, then you're automatically out the first 6 weeks.
Okay, so this is essentially just like attempting to get more bodies.
Nothing.
In. Yeah.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, that's good. Hopefully that means that we'll be adding more pieces to the roster that Toby.
It's very normal. A lot of teams are doing it, though. It's not just the Dolphins. It's just
it's
you're
not that
unfamiliar
time,
with these players.
Yep. A couple stats that I want to run by you. I had been mentioning this EA Sports College Football 25 had released. It released, I believe it was yesterday at 4 p.m. or the day before at 4 p.m.
The day before, because remember we talked to Dono about it.
Yes,
his playing.
Right. He played 45 minutes or something like that. If you think about it, yesterday, the statistics came out at one point, and I even saw some screenshots of this that were sent to me. The game hit 713,974 online players at once. If you think about it, this was early access, which means in order to be playing it yesterday,
you had to sign up for it.
You had to pay $100 for it.
Now, oh, really?
If you think about it, the 700,000 people that paid $100 for it in one day, that equates to about $70 million day one.
So if you didn't pay for it to play day one, then you get it released later and it's the regular $49.99 or whatever?
Yeah, the regular. I mean, I think it's up to like $60, but then the normal losers like myself play Friday when it finally releases.
Yeah. Hey, I still get a football game every year.
Like a Madden?
Yeah.
Man, that's nice. They just send it to you and you don't even have a system or anything? Fonz has a system, I'm sure.
Fonz, oh, please. Once, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
When Fonz started realizing that I was getting sent games and stuff like that, he's like, you don't even play. But now they don't even buy the game because it's all online.
All digital, yeah. I saw something actually recently that Xbox is coming out with something that they're going to sell you the remote and they're going to sell you an Amazon Fire Stick. And that's how you play now. No Xbox system.
So they got their own Roku.
Essentially, yeah. They got their own little system figured out there that
I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
This Roku.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
You love it?
Because here's the deal. Like, I don't need to have a box for DirecTV and then go to the Fire Stick or have the
switch the
icon for Netflix and Prime. You know how they come on the bottom of the TV?
Yep.
I just hear Roku and they all your stuff comes up and you just go to the one you want.
Yeah. Even on the remote, I'm not sure if the Roku does this, but my Amazon TV.
Oh yeah, it has Netflix, Prime. Right. Netflix on my remote. It has Netflix. It has Prime. And I think it has Hulu. If I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But yeah. Right. But I don't need that because I just go to Roku main.
Yeah. No, it really is.
And here's what I can't figure out.
What?
Like, there's so many, like, gadgets that you could buy. Some of the little things that you pay for, the box or whatever.
Yeah.
There's free shows on all the time.
No, there definitely is.
So, like, if I didn't have Netflix or DirecTV or whatever, Roku, like, has free stuff on there. For one price, that's it.
No, it completely, like, there's even channels now, like, for these free
kind
of things that they have, like, you can watch Family Feud for 24 hours straight if you wanted to, kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, Family Feud channel.
Yeah.
No, I like, my best, see, that's where Instagram, that's where I live on Instagram, for the Family Feud funnies.
So good. So good. And no matter how bad the answer, they're always like, good answer, good answer.
No. He said, name something that you feel.
Yeah.
Right? And do your Kool-Aid pitcher.
Mm. Yep.
No, but he was saying feel. And he thought he was saying feel. Right, because he was country.
Yeah. That's great.
Oh, my goodness. And then Steve will stop.
Love Steve as a host. You gotta love Steve as a host. I'm sure there's been other great hosts, and I used to watch it before.
I think they do a good job of finding a person with that personality that's gonna interact. You know what I mean? So they always have pretty good hosts, but Steve, his reactions to some of the answers, I can't imagine, because you doing that. Say you might take two or three shows a day.
Yeah.
Right, and you do like a month and a week or whatever, however they film it. I would imagine that he is just stunned at some of the answers.
Yeah. No, I mean, and you see it in his face. He can't hide it at all.
He can't hide it. He can't hide it.
Now, we have some news in the NFL. Arguably the top story for the top. He's not even a free agent at the moment. So I'd say the most coveted player at the moment. We have an update you can only find here on the Tobin and Leroy Show from our very own Leroy Horde. We got more information on that and much more when we come back on the Tobin and Leroy Show.
It goes out to all the women in the world, especially her. You know it don't even matter your age, don't even matter your color. Your fellas, I forget about y'all. This is for everybody to like things. Just listen to what I'm saying and do it.
Welcome back to the Tobin and Leroy Show, live, 560 WQAM. We're on 10 to 2 today. Tobin out for the whole week. The whole week. And next week he'll actually be, I don't even know where he'll be. What is he? I can't. Indianapolis. Yes, for...
At the Big Ten.
Big Ten Media Day.
Media Day. Now.
Look at his chops.
If I must say.
Oh, ho, ho.
Is there anybody in that building who played in the Big Ten?
No, I don't. Well, there is one guy that I'm familiar with, if I'm not mistaken, you know.
And guess where he's going to be?
Not in Indianapolis, I'm assuming.
No.
Huh. So the Big Ten guy is not going to the Big Ten.
And they're sending Tobin.
Hmm.
And I think Zach Kranz. Now.
Huh?
Yeah.
Did Zach play in the Big Ten? Is this something I don't know by any chance?
I don't even think Tobin's ever been in the Big Ten.
Mm.
I mean, driving or whatever.
Yeah.
The farthest he's been, Tennessee.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why didn't you go? Was this they just forgot about
it? Wasn't
you?
Asked.
Wasn't asked. Ooh. Would you have gone though? Those things are kind of
I don't know.
Yeah, for you.
They're no fun, but here's
Big Ten though, you know, that's you.
Right, right. Yeah. Would have loved to been able to
make the decision.
Keep a new coach.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that's yeah, it would have been a good opportunity for you in the Big
Jamar
Ten.
Moore. Yeah. Would have loved to meet him.
Yep. He's not the guy who was crying last year, was he?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good coach. Good coach.
We have some questions. Yeah, I'm definitely. Hey, man.
What's up with the crying, bro?
Here's what I don't get.
Yeah.
When you bust your ass to get to a certain point, right, in your life.
Yeah.
Why are you crying? Why are you shocked when you get there?
Yeah, you've mentioned that you're not necessarily.
Right. You like, this is where you want to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I understand if, you know, you win a natty or win a Super Bowl or something like that. Right?
Yeah. But just attaining a job, you don't think it's worthy of a cry?
Right. Right. Like, if he would have cried becoming the head coach,
yeah,
I would have been okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is like the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
But you didn't know it would maybe get there as quick as it did. And you didn't know that moment in time earlier last year would have given you an opportunity to be the head coach of this team.
Yeah, absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? So I can understand if you just like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, I can't think of, dude, I didn't like when I got drafted.
Yeah.
I didn't like, I would say I've gotten emotional, but
not
after a win.
Yeah.
Not a win.
It was a win over number 10 Penn State at the time. It was probably their biggest win of the season thus far.
Yeah. So. No, it was, you know what? And here's the deal. He's got a lot of Jim Harbaugh in him with how he goes about things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going for it on fourth down, stuff like that. He got some stones.
Yeah.
But here's the problem with Michigan this year. And I hope they don't hold this against him. There is no college team that's going to be as good as they were last year if you get 12 guys drafted.
Yeah, for sure. You can't replace
you see what
that
I'm
kind
saying?
Of turnover.
Right.
Those are 12 pros that are leaving your team.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Including a top 10 quarterback.
Hmm.
So now the one thing I say that will help them is Michigan gets quarterbacks drafted high,
yeah,
but don't really use their quarterback. He makes pivotal plays when he needs to, but the team is not living or dying with the play of their quarterback. They live or die with the trenches, offense and defense, running the football and whatnot.
Absolutely.
And so although they had a very good quarterback, right? And you saw him when he had to make plays, he made plays. But they really try not to put him in a position where he's going to have to make a whole bunch of plays to win a game.
Yeah.
That's just the way they operate. It has nothing to do with the talent of the quarterback or what the faith they have or don't have in the quarterback. It's just that they're going to line up, they're going to beat you up, they're going to run the football and go that route. So all questions I would have loved to kick the tires with and kind of, you know, tell him I'll be up there for Texas.
Yeah.
And then chop it up with him. But I can't, listen, I make fun of not being up there.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be honest, I can't say that I would have gone.
So but, you I'm know, not, sometimes you want the invite, though. You know, I don't want to be.
I'm not going to just put Lynn and everybody on blast. Although, like, it would kind of have been, I would have thought about it.
Yeah.
Because keep in mind, think about this. So I went to Michigan.
Yep.
Right? Would have loved to talk to Shamar Moore.
Yes, sir.
Kurt Ferentz was my offensive line coach when I was in Cleveland. He's the head coach at Iowa.
Okay, so that's two connections.
And he's one of the most stand-up guys, and that's probably why he's had that job so long.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? And think about this. You know offensive line coaches and how hyped up and how intense they are or whatever.
Yeah.
He was mellow.
Oh.
He was mellow.
So, you know, really, those are the ones you got to watch
really
out
screamed,
for.
Never really screamed.
Yeah.
Talked to his guys. He'd have conversations with you. Yep. He's one of the coaches that I really, really liked. Another one is Lewis. What's his first name? I forgot it.
What is he coach?
Hey, he was the head coach at got the head coaching job. He was at Cincinnati for a long time. Marvin Lewis.
Ah, Marvin Lewis, yep.
Marvin Lewis. And here's why. We were in camp.
Yep.
We were in Baltimore. He was the linebackers coach at the time.
Ah. Oh, wow.
And he had
That's
a rule.
Right. He was a linebackers coach at that time.
He had a rule.
What was his rule?
When you run a pass rush against the running backs, one bull rush per camp.
Oh, I got you.
See, because the whole deal was they 250, you 220.
Yeah.
And you sitting there. They ain't got nothing else to worry about. They ain't got no other defense to read. And they just go and bull rush you and dump truck you and your coach yelling at you, fight, 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 fight. Yeah, no. I'm like, he's 250. I'm standing still.
What am I supposed to do?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So he had a rule. One bull rush per camp.
That's good.
If you bull rushed again, you had to run.
Mm.
So, like, yeah. So that one bull, that saved me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of cool, like, people that, like, I have met and have known that have coached and have become head coaches and stuff like that. When I was in Cleveland, Scott Pioli and Eric Mangini,
mm-hmm.
they were like the Gophers. They held up the card for the scout team.
Oh,
like, man. Bill sent them to do everything.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Definitely Mangini was a part of his history.
Yeah, Jim Schwartz was there.
Yeah.
And all these guys end up being phenomenal coaches. And there's something to be said about, you know, it's weird because think about this. This is what's weird about Bill Belichick. All of the coaches he had in Cleveland ended up having success.
Yep.
All of the coaches he had in New England did not.
No success.
And so I think he kind of, I don't know how to put it. Maybe the guys that he had in New England just, he told them what to do.
Yeah,
they didn't really
sense.
Have a voice. Whereas he was a younger coach and he maybe leaned on the other coaches a little bit more. Like, yeah,
they were more his peers as opposed to his understudies.
Right. But then, but even the guys that he brought in as understudies had success.
Yeah.
Jim Schwartz is one of the best defense coordinators in the league.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Eric Mangini had a couple of head coaching jobs.
Yeah, for sure.
Scott Pioli, front office.
Yep.
Right? So there was a lot of guys that had hit. Al Groh was a linebacker coach there. He ended up coaching Virginia. Nick Saban was the defensive coordinator. Kurt Ferentz, he was offensive line coach. He's still the head coach. He's been the head coach at Iowa for almost 20 years.
Must have some
They can't
success.
Score. They can't score. They can play some defense. They can't score. Oh, my goodness. Woo! You want to talk about I don't know what to do.
Nah. I'm looking at a lot of articles now about what I was referencing prior to us going to break. We're going to take another quick break and come back so we can discuss it more. It seems, Leroy, you may be ahead of the curve in this one. You were already correcting your previous guess, but based off articles that I'm reading here from Yahoo Sports and from New York Times, Leroy may know something the rest of the NFL does not about the most coveted wide receiver available at the moment. We'll talk more about that when we come back on the Tobin and Leroy Show. That's NUMNM, Leroy. Have you heard it by any chance?
Yes, I have. I heard that song. He's just good.
Yeah.
He's like good. He's one of the few people that he ain't gonna never get caught in no beef.
Correct. Well, he did have a beef with Ja Rule for a little bit. But 50 Cent kind of took that one over, if I had to be honest.
Yeah, because 50 Cent ain't gonna say nothing about Eminem. That's who got him.
No, 50 Cent loves Eminem, so he took the liberty of ending Ja Rule's career.
And he said there's two people, and I heard 50 say this in an interview.
Yeah.
There's two people to the day he died he ain't gonna never say nothing bad about.
Yeah.
Eminem and Dr. Dre.
No, absolutely. I mean, they gave him the platform to be the icon that he is, and thank God he did. 50 had a run there. 50 had a run.
He had a run, and then, well, now he's doing that producing with all them shows.
Yeah.
He's Power, right?
Yeah, I think he's Power. Right?
Power.
Yeah,
that's and one now with
those. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Dade South corrects me. 50 Cent versus Ja Rule was first. Eminem stepped in later. All right. Well, either way, I know Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem went back and forth for a bit, but I mean, Machine Gun Kelly, who are we even talking about? I mean, come on, who are we?
Because Eminem is like, make up your mind. Now, I will say this.
Yeah.
I would usually say that, like, people picking genres or whatever because, you know, they didn't make it in the other one.
Yeah.
Right? Because remember, a lot of these pop stars started off in country and they cross over to pop. Right?
Yep.
But there's one person I'm not going to say that about, and that's Post Malone.
Oh, yeah.
That dude is touch them all.
For sure. He's definitely
with everybody and every genre or whatever. Right? Yeah. He did a collaboration with Ozzy Osbourne.
Yep. And it was good.
It was good. Right.
Yeah, it was good.
So, yeah, I'm not there's certain people that I can't say that about Hootie.
Darius Rucker. Yeah.
I mean, come on, everybody thinks he's Hootie, right?
Is he not Hootie? Like, I don't know.
No,
he's Hootie. No,
I heard the explanation is about a friend.
Man, he's Hootie.
They nickname Hootie or something like that. It's not none of them in the group name is Hootie.
He's Hootie. Darius Rucker's Hootie.
Right. So he went to country and won Grammys in country. So I can't question him.
No, it makes sense. Yeah.
Right.
Now, Leroy, the biggest story in football, as football is in a bit of a slow period right now, is...
Yeah, so we kicked the tires on pretty much anything, and here's what we have this time of year.
Yes, indeed.
Right?
Fodder.
You talk about even, like, the rookies usually sign quicker because they're slotted. There's no big contracts. Yeah. You pretty much have an idea of what you're going to get.
Yep.
Right? The other thing is guys trying to get contracts and then asking out.
Correct.
Or guys getting traded because they can't get a contract.
Yeah.
Because the team can get something good.
Yeah.
San Francisco finds themselves in one of those situations.
Yes. With wide receiver Brandon Ayuk.
Yep. Brandon Ayuk. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He says he wants to be traded.
Correct.
Because they won't pay him. Yeah. One of the unfortunate things about this is I think they need him.
Now, I think he's a great wide receiver. I think they
need him.
Yeah, this is not something they're just going to find in the offseason.
Now, there's a team that I would deem to be all in.
All right. Now,
last year they got Coop, Amari Cooper.
Hmm?
This offseason, they signed Jerry Jeudy. And now, somebody's kicking the tires on Brandon Ayuk. And rumor has it that the Browns are interested.
Wow. Rumor has it. Now,
so I accidentally sent the message.
Yeah.
to Lynn, and it was WOTS. He goes, I don't know what that means, but it sounds good. I said,
word on the street.
I said, word on the street.
So he liked it, though.
I knew he had. And I probably could send that to anybody, and the only three people that would get it is you, Tobin, and Jay Fig. You try to figure out the words. Yeah. Because other than that, right, nobody else understands our text.
No, for sure. I mean, it took me a second. I thought it was a you know, like an error of some sort. I was like, Watts? But then I was like, okay, this is Leroy with a theory about something. So this is definitely word on the street. And as we all remember, if you guys are listeners and fans of this show, prior to Donovan Mitchell signing his extension with the Cleveland Cavaliers, our very own Leroy Horde had inside information that he would do so. And even though Tobin continued to deny it, I'd say 24 hours later, Leroy was vindicated as Donovan Mitchell signed that extension. Now I'm looking at YahooSports.com. Some of the teams they have listed as potential options are the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Patriots, the Lions. New York Times has the Chargers potentially making a move for
the Patriots. Yeah. Ain't happening.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think any of these. The Lions, I don't think it's happening.
The Lions, they have a lot. Oh, man, they got a lot of talented wide receivers.
They do. But they just re-signed, you know.
Yeah, that's Jared what I'm saying. They just re-signed the Steelers.
St. Brown and Penei Sewell.
The Steelers, if you want to start, they don't normally do it like that.
Yeah.
Right? The Steelers are very frivolous. They're very cheap.
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
I mean,
they'll get rid of a guy before giving them big money.
Absolutely.
Like, just remember Bell?
Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown.
Right. Well, yeah. Antonio Brown.
I mean, I understand why.
The Steelers were the only team that could get him to actually play football.
Yeah, absolutely. They got rid of that headache at the right time. But the Commanders was another team that was mentioned.
But here's the deal, and I'm gonna say this about the Commanders.
Yeah,
I like what you're doing. You ain't there yet.
That's fair.
You ain't there yet to spend big money on one player. You got to get your base.
They have the second most effective salary cap, though. Salary cap space with a little more than $37 million.
Don't matter. You got to find out what you need.
Yeah.
Before you start just filling positions that
aren't of need, I guess.
Right, exactly. So that everybody's taking the money they have available and making that seem like, okay, this is it. I would say I even have some questions about whether the Browns should do it.
Yeah, because that's fair.
I mean,
I'm looking for Cooper. I could be potentially in the wrong.
No, dude.
He's still there, right?
He is. Yeah.
Okay.
He is probably one of the. Here's the class I put him in. Who was the Florida State wide receiver that went to Arizona?
Anquan Boldin. Yes.
Year after year after year, they would say, well, he's not fast. He doesn't do this. He doesn't, right? But he catches 90, 100 balls every year, right?
Yeah.
He is like, you know where he's going to be. He catches the ball. He makes plays. He does things like that. And for some reason, we don't think that matters in football, right?
Yep.
It's like the Christian Wilkins thing. Like 100 tackles as a defensive lineman, we look at sacks. So we look at Anquan Boldin and go yards per catch. Or we'll look at, you know, we'll look at a whole bunch of other numbers to support our point other than year after year after year, dude makes tough catches. He does a lot of things. They'll talk about, oh, he doesn't get separation. Oh, he doesn't do this. Oh, he doesn't do that. Right? That's kind of what Amari Cooper is.
Yeah.
He runs routes better than almost anybody in the league.
Yep.
He's a veteran. He knows how to get open. He knows. I would put Amari Cooper in the same. And I'm not trying to cheat the Hall of Famer.
Okay.
But I'm going to say this. When you think of Chris Carter.
Ah, yes.
You don't think of a guy who's a burner. For you don't sure. think of, you think of a guy who's a pro.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Can catch the hell out of the football, knows how to work a defense, knows how to get open, reliable.
Yeah.
And that's what Amari Cooper is.
Yeah, I compare him right? to like a Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt kind of vibe.
Well, those guys could burn. Isaac Bruce was fast as hell.
Was he? I didn't even know. Yeah. I just knew that he threw the ball his way or Torrey Holt's right. way, they're catching it.
Right. But they were burners. They yeah. weren't it would be he's somewhere in between Jarvis Landry Ooh. And Chris Carter.
Yeah, I feel that. That makes sense.
You see what I'm saying? That's where I would put Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
He's more explosive than Jarvis Landry, but hasn't done it. I mean, you look at his numbers, they're amazing.
Yep.
And just go, you know, people just underestimate him. He did have a game for 265 last year, by the way.
Well, let's not forget that. You know, he's actually right. in a bit of a contract dispute, apparently.
Well, yeah.
They're actually questioning whether or not he'll show up to camp. Do you think this means that the Browns replace him with Ayuk, or do you think they get a deal done and supplement it?
It's one of those things. I'm going to say the same thing I say to them that I said with Christian Wilkins.
Yeah.
You think you can get one of those anywhere.
Yeah.
But you can't.
Not sure.
Like, he is a unique player. That's what I said about Christian Wilkins. Dude, I've been around football long enough.
Yeah.
Defensive tackles don't have 100 tackles.
No, for sure. And then he picked it up with sacks the next year.
Because that's what they told him.
Yeah, of course. He's like, right? this is what you want? Fine.
But here's the deal. Let's think about this from a common sense standpoint. What is a sack?
A tackle for a loss on a quarterback.
A tackle for loss is just with a quarterback.
Yep.
He had 20 plus, almost 25 tackles for loss. Who does he care who it is?
Yeah. No,
from that position, the 25 tackles for loss means that he's back there.
He's in the backfield for sure. Not right. to mention the tackles, like, and this is a stat that won't come up.
But all
the tackles
over the field.
20 yards down the field. Those are the ones right. that are impressive to me.
That energy, I've only played with one guy.
Yeah.
One guy in my life that had that energy and to this day still has that same energy, and that's John Randall.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That was your boy.
It was. He had so much energy, it was annoying.
Play too much.
And you, like, it's funny because you mad and he just playing.
Yep.
Right? Like,
too big to play that much.
Yes. Wasn't, you know what? Here's the funny thing. He only weighed like 265.
He looked bigger.
Yeah. No. Well, that's with all the eye black and the war paint.
Yeah.
You know, they made him stop doing that.
No, I didn't. Why?
Later on in his career. I don't know.
Mm.
It makes football too physical for the kids. I don't know, man.
You heard it here first. Leroy suspects there is a chance that the Cleveland Browns will be the ones to land Brandon Ayuk. And if you
when I hear stuff like that, I try to make sense of it.
Yeah.
And what I would say is this. Cleveland has done everything they can to put talent around Deshaun Watson.
Yes, indeed.
And you've never heard me say this about a player because I'm always hesitant to do this.
Yep. But it's time.
But yes. Like, come on, dude. You got $230 million and this is year three?
Yep.
Year three. And we've had six quarterbacks since you've been here.
Correct.
That ain't supposed to happen. Not at 230. Right?
Nope. So, not at 230 fully guaranteed.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I think he will. But think about this. It's been 5 years since he played good football.
Yep.
How do we chew on that?
Plenty of questions, including will he have another wide receiver option? When we come back in hour two, a Leroy, a peer of yours, a Hall of Fame, a fellow running back, in handcuffs this weekend, and wrongfully so. We'll discuss who it was, why it happened, and what's next here on the Tobin and Leroy Show. Back again. She's back. Tell her friend. Guess who's back? 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 That's that new Eminem, Leroy. Have you heard it by any chance?
Yes, I have. I heard that song. He's just good.
Yeah.
He's like, good. He's one of the few people that he ain't going to never get caught in no beef.
Correct. Well, he did have a beef with Ja Rule for a little bit. But 50 Cent kind of took that one over, if I had to be honest.
Yeah, because 50 Cent ain't going to say nothing about Eminem. That's who got him.
No, 50 Cent loves Eminem, so he took the liberty of ending Ja Rule's career.
And he said there's two people, and I heard 50 say this in an interview.
Yeah.
There's two people to the day he died he ain't going to never, never say nothing bad about.
Yeah.
Eminem and Dr. Dre.
No, absolutely. I mean, they gave him the platform to be the icon that he is, and thank God he did. 50 had a run there. 50 had a run.
And then, well, now he's doing that producing with all them shows.
Yeah.
He's Power, right?
Yeah, I think he's Power. Right,
Power.
Yeah,
that's one with those.
Yeah. Oh, Dade South corrects me. 50 Cent versus Ja Rule was first. Eminem stepped in later. All right. Well, either way, I know Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem went back and forth for a bit, but I mean, Machine Gun Kelly. Who are we even talking about? Like, I mean, come on. Who are we?
Because Eminem is like, make up your mind. Now, I will say this.
Yeah.
I would usually say that, like, people picking genres or whatever because, you know, they didn't make it in the other one.
Yeah.
Right? Because remember, a lot of these pop stars started off in country and they cross over to pop. Right?
Yep.
But there's one person I'm not going to say that about. And that's Post Malone.
Oh, yeah.
That dude is touch them all.
For sure. He's definitely done
with everybody and every genre or whatever. Right, yeah. He did a collaboration with Ozzy Osbourne.
Yep, and it was good.
It was good, right?
Yeah, it was good.
So yeah, I'm not. There's certain people that I can't say that about Hootie.
Darius Rucker. Yeah.
I mean, come on, everybody thinks he's Hootie, right?
Is he not Hootie? Like, I don't know.
No,
he's Hootie. No,
I heard the explanation is about a friend.
Man, he's Hootie.
They nickname Hootie or something like that. It's not none of them in the group name is Hootie.
He's Hootie. Darius Rucker's Hootie.
Right. So he went to country and won Grammys in country. So I can't question him.
No, it makes sense. Yeah.
Right.
Now, Leroy, the biggest story in football, as football is in a bit of a slow period right now, is...
Yeah, so we kicked the tires on pretty much anything, and here's what we have this time of year.
Yes, indeed.
Right?
Fodder.
You talk about even, like, the rookies usually sign quicker because they're slotted. There's no big contracts. Yeah. You pretty much have an idea of what you're going to get.
Yep.
Right? The other thing is guys trying to get contracts and then asking out.
Correct.
Or guys getting traded because they can't get a contract.
Yeah.
Because the team can get something good.
Yeah.
San Francisco finds themselves in one of those situations.
Yes, with wide receiver Brandon Ayuk.
Yep, Brandon Ayuk, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says he wants to be traded.
Correct.
Because they won't pay him. Yeah. One of the unfortunate things about this is I think they need him.
No, I think he's a great wide receiver. I think they
need him.
Yeah, this is not something they're just going to find in the offseason.
Now, there's a team that I would deem to be all in.
All right. Now,
last year they got Coop, Amari Cooper.
Hmm?
This offseason, they signed Jerry Jeudy. And now, somebody's kicking the tires on Brandon Ayuk. And rumor has it that the Browns are interested.
Wow. Rumor has it. Now,
so I accidentally sent the message to Lynn, and it was WOTS. He goes, I don't know what that means, but it sounds good.
I said, word on the street.
Word on the street.
So, he liked it though.
I know he had. And I probably could send that to anybody, and the only three people that would get it is you, Tobin, and Jay Fig. You try to figure out the words. Yeah. Because other than that, right, nobody else understands our text.
No, for sure. I mean, it took me a second. I thought it was a you know, like an error of some sort. I was like, Watts? But then I was like, okay, this is Leroy with a theory about something. So this is definitely word on the street. And as we all remember, if you guys are listeners and fans of this show, prior to Donovan Mitchell signing his extension with the Cleveland Cavaliers, our very own Leroy Horde had inside information that he would do so. And even though Tobin continued to deny it, I'd say 24 hours later, Leroy was vindicated as Donovan Mitchell signed that extension. Now I'm looking at YahooSports.com. Some of the teams they have listed as potential options are the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Patriots, the Lions. New York Times has the Chargers potentially making a move for
the Patriots. Yeah. Ain't happening.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think any of these. The Lions, I don't think it's happening.
The Lions, they have a lot. Oh, man, they got a lot of talented wide receivers.
They do. But they just re-signed, you know.
Yeah, that's Jared what I'm saying. Goff, they just re-signed the Steelers.
St. Brown and Penei Sewell.
The Steelers, if you want to start, they don't normally do it like that.
Yeah.
Right? The Steelers are very frivolous. They're very cheap.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I mean, they'll get rid of a guy before giving them big money.
Absolutely.
Like, just remember Bell?
Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown.
Right. Well, yeah. Antonio Brown.
I mean, I understand why.
The Steelers were the only team that could get him to actually play football.
Yeah, absolutely. They got rid of that headache at the right time. But the Commanders was another team that was mentioned.
But here's the deal, and I'm gonna say this about the Commanders.
Yeah,
I like what you're doing. You ain't there yet.
That's fair.
You ain't there yet to spend big money on one player. You got to get your base.
They have the second most effective salary cap, though. Salary cap space with a little more than $37 million.
Don't matter. You got to find out what you need.
Yeah.
Before you start just filling positions that
aren't of need, I guess.
Right, exactly. So that everybody's taking the money they have available and making that seem like, okay, this is it. I would say I even have some questions about whether the Browns should do it.
Yeah, because that's fair.
I mean,
I'm looking for Cooper. I could be potentially in the wrong.
No, dude.
He's still there, right?
He is. Yeah.
Okay.
He is probably one of the. Here's the class I put him in. Who was the Florida State wide receiver that went to Arizona?
Anquan Boldin. Yes.
Year after year after year, they would say, well, he's not fast. He doesn't do this. He doesn't, right? But he catches 90, 100 balls every year, right?
Yeah.
He is like, you know where he's going to be. He catches the ball. He makes plays. He does things like that. And for some reason, we don't think that matters in football, right?
Yep.
It's like the Christian Wilkins thing. Like 100 tackles as a defensive lineman, we look at sacks. So we look at Anquan Boldin and go yards per catch. Or we'll look at, you know, we'll look at a whole bunch of other numbers to support our point other than year after year after year, dude makes tough catches. He does a lot of things. They'll talk about, oh, he doesn't get separation. Oh, he doesn't do this. Oh, he doesn't do that. Right? That's kind of what Amari Cooper is.
Yeah.
He runs routes better than almost anybody in the league.
Yep.
He's a veteran. He knows how to get open. I would put Amari Cooper in the same And I'm not trying to cheat the Hall of Famer.
Okay.
But I'm gonna say this: when you think of Chris Carter,
ah, yes,
you don't think of a guy who's a burner. For you sure. don't think of you think of a guy who's a pro.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Can catch the hell out of the football, knows how to work a defense, knows how to get open, reliable.
Yeah,
and that's what Amari Cooper is.
Yeah, I compare him right? to like a Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt kind of vibe.
Well, those guys could burn. Isaac Bruce was fast as hell.
Was he? I didn't even know. Yeah. I just knew that he you threw the ball his way or Torrey Holt's right. way, they're catching it.
Right. But they were burners. They yeah. weren't it would be he's somewhere in between Jarvis Landry Ooh. And Chris Carter.
Yeah, I feel that. That makes sense.
You see what I'm saying? That's where I would put Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
He's more explosive than Jarvis Landry, but hasn't done it. I mean, you look at his numbers, they're amazing.
Yep.
And just go, you know, people just underestimate him. He did have a game for 265 last year, by the way.
Let's not forget that. You know, he's actually right. in a bit of a contract dispute, apparently.
Well, yeah.
They're actually questioning whether or not he'll show up to camp. Do you think this means that the Browns replace him with Ayuk, or do you think they get a deal done and supplement it?
It's one of those things. I'm going to say the same thing I say to them that I said with Christian Wilkins.
Yeah.
You think you can get one of those anywhere.
Yeah.
But you can't.
Not sure.
Like, he is a unique player. That's what I said about Christian Wilkins. Dude, I've been around football long enough.
Yeah.
Defensive tackles don't have 100 tackles.
No, for sure. And then he picked it up with sacks the next year.
Because that's what they told him.
Yeah, of course. He's like, right? "Oh, this is what you want?" Fine.
But here's the deal. Let's think about this from a common sense standpoint. What is a sack?
A tackle for a loss on a quarterback.
A tackle for loss is just with a quarterback.
Yep.
He had 20 plus almost 25 tackles for loss. Who does he care who it is?
Yeah. No, it's
from that position, the 25 tackles for loss means that he's back there.
He's in the backfield for sure. Not right. to mention the tackles, like, and this is a stat that won't come up.
But all
the tackles,
over the field.
20 yards down the field. Those are the ones right. that are impressive to me.
That energy, I've only played with one guy.
Yeah.
One guy in my life that had that energy and to this day still has that same energy, and that's John Randall.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That was your boy.
It was. He had so much energy, it was annoying.
Play too much.
And you, like, it's funny because you mad and he just playing.
Yep.
Right? Like,
too big to play that much.
Yes. Was it? You know what? Here's the funny thing. He only weighed like 265.
He looked bigger.
Yeah. No. Well, that's with all the eye black and the war paint.
Yeah.
You know, they made him stop doing that.
No, I didn't. Why?
Later on in his career. I don't know.
Hmm.
It makes football too physical for the kids. I don't know, man.
You heard it here first. Leroy suspects there is a chance that the Cleveland Browns will be the ones to land Brandon Ayuk. And if you
when I hear stuff like that, I try to make sense of it.
Yeah.
And what I would say is this. Cleveland has done everything they can to put talent around Deshaun Watson.
Yes, indeed.
And you've never heard me say this about a player because I'm always hesitant to do this.
Yep. But it's time.
Yes. Like, come on, dude. You got $230 million and this is year three?
Yep.
Year three. And we've had six quarterbacks since you've been here.
Correct.
That ain't supposed to happen. Not at 230. Right?
Nope. Not at 230 fully guaranteed.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I think he will. But think about this. It's been 5 years since he played good football.
Yep.
How do we chew on that?
Plenty of questions, including will he have another wide receiver option? When we come back in hour two, a Leroy, a peer of yours, a Hall of Fame, a fellow running back in handcuffs this weekend, and wrongfully so. We'll discuss who it was, why it happened, and what's next here on the Tobin and Leroy Show.